So I'm Lauren Walker. I've been entrenched in state politics for about the past 2 years. A lot of our good legislators and GOP types know me and some of the stuff we do behind scenes, but I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about Idaho politics before we get started. Not everyone in the room is from Idaho, and not everyone understands the dynamics. According to a map, we are red. We're not really red. So going back to the summer of 2022, we had a rhino named Tom Luna, who was the GOP chair. And Dorothy Moon is a hardcore conservative. She ousted Tom and cleaned up the platform a lot. So last session, per Stop Idaho Rhinos graph, I know they're in here listening, we had 82.8% Republicans. It's a supermajority in the state. But in accordance with the GOP platform, which has been like leaps and bounds cleaned up since Dorothy has come in, only 42.8% of our entire legislature voted in accordance with the conservative platform. So there is hope. There's hope. We had 12 Liberty legislators. We called them Liberty legislators in 2022. And after the election, we now have about 36. So we about tripled our number of Liberty legislators. So you can see the momentum and the trajectory in the state, which is great. And also in 2023, we established an Idaho Freedom Caucus. And here on the, you'll hear her speaking a little bit later, is Maria Nate. She is the director for the Idaho Freedom Caucus. It's umbrellaed under the national. They pick certain states and they have 13 members. Some of them are silent. Some of them are out. The ones we're going to be discussing tonight are public members. You can go to their webpage. You can donate to them. Our Idaho Freedom Caucus legislators in the state are our most conservative. They're the best. A couple of things I want to say real quick before I put Glenita on is tonight we're going to be talking a lot about Chuck Winder. He's a senator. He's the pro tem of the Senate. So think of him as like the president of the Senate. Like our House has a speaker. Our Senate has a pro tem. He's out of District 20, Legislative District 20 in Boise. And a lot of the stuff tonight will gravitate around him. So when somebody says Winder or LD20 senator, you know who he's talking about. The other thing you're probably going to hear a lot tonight is an acronym called IACI. And in IACI, it stands for Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry. And they pump money, and you can find it on Sunshine Reports online. Our state is fantastic about transparency for funding these candidates. You can go in and figure out who's taking money from bad people. But IACI is a conglomerate of corporations. They swing the most money in the state. You're talking Simplot, Micron, Wells Fargo, Albertsons, like just these big giant corporations encompassed, and they own most of our legislators. So when I say we have 42.8% that voted conservative according to the platform, what I'm really saying is like 60% are funded by IACI, and their fund is called the Idaho Prosperity Fund. But if you look through the people who are encompassed, the corporations encompassed, they also donate to the Idaho Victory Fund. And that's gonna become important later in conversation. So to start it off, I would like to bring on Senator Glenita Zeiderveld. She's Legislative District 24, Twin Falls, and she has quite a story. So you can go ahead. I know that Sia is gonna put her stuff up in the Jumbotron, and it, right now might not be like the opportune time to go and read everything that she had written, or see what she did, but maybe later after this, you can go back and reference it. So I know Sia will put that stuff on, and let's bring Glenita up to tell her story.
Hi, can you hear me?
We sure can, go right ahead.
Oh, great, this is all new to me. Yes, I am Glenita Zeiderveld, Senator for District 24. And first of all, I want to just thank Lauren for her service, you know, and happy Veterans Day. I don't know if it's really happy. I'm a mom of a veteran, and I know what you guys go through. So thank you so much for your service. And that's the reason why I'm in this fight, is because you guys have fought for other countries' freedoms, and we are losing our freedom here in our nation and our state. So thank you, Lauren, so much for your service. And I'm not sure what you're wanting me to share. You want me to share the whole story right now of what has happened with us here in the state, or what are you wanting me to share?
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and start with the incident and, you know, your Substack and all of those things that I know a lot of people in here know, but some don't. They're not familiar with Idaho. So it would just be good to kind of give them what you did and what happened.
Okay. Well, I'm not really 100% sure which post that triggered the reaction from our pro tem to send me this letter that he did. I'm assuming it's the one that I titled David and Goliath. And what I did there is I am trying to educate my constituents on who Iaki is and where the money comes from. And the money with Iaki, it ties to a lot of your BlackRock and Vanguard. And so they have over 300 people that they have as clients. And it's hard to get all 300, but you know, it's you can get some of their clients that they represent. And when you go start looking at their clients, like Micron and Clearwater, Blue Cross, Idaho Power, all of these corporations, when you Google who their major stockholders are, is BlackRock and Vanguard, which is Larry Fink. And so that was my whole purpose behind this newsletter, because my challenger that they're putting against me is already endorsed by Iaki. And so I thought it's important for me to educate my constituents on who that is and why they're endorsing her. She's not going to be representing the people. She's going to be representing those large global corporations. And that was a purpose behind that newsletter. And if that is the one that he said that offended people, I'm not sure. And so then I did get the letter from him stating that I would lose my vice chair because of that, speaking out, speaking the truth, and educating my people. And that's what I ran on. I ran on being transparent. I ran on being exposing corruption and fighting for them. And that's what I will continue to do. But that is what he removed me from my vice chair for.
Yes. So I read the letters, and the words that he used in all three of them were degrading, disparaging, and disrespectful. And I found that quite interesting for a number of reasons, but today we listened to him just before this, actually, on the Nate Shellman show speaking, and he called himself the gatekeeper. And I kind of wanted to go into something that is nuanced that people didn't recognize, which was the timing. And we talked about this. So you have a competitor running against you. She's already been endorsed by Iaki. Her name is Alex Cavall. And she announced yesterday, just one day after you publicly announced that you received the letter. So the timing was fishy. And then again today, and Brian will tell his story, but Jeff Agenbrod is running against him. And he announced early this morning, unbeknownst to Winder, Brian didn't receive his letter until late, or he didn't receive a letter. He actually had to email him today. So it basically, Winder's covering his tracks is what it appears to me to look like. And when I put the timing together and I look at it, I think, well, wow, both of these legislators or competitors to these legislators, to our IFC legislators, Idaho Freedom Caucus, seem to have been given the leg up, like the jump on what was going to happen, which to me seems like an ethics complaint in itself. Why do these Iaki endorsed people have knowledge of what was going to happen to you and Brian before it occurred, and it happened to announce at the exact same perfect timing? And when it comes to that, I go and I look into the ethics portion of it. And just real quick, I think House has an ethics committee, right? There is an ethics committee, and people show up and they have testimonies and stuff. But what exactly is the process on the Senate side, because Nate Shulman almost got there, but he didn't make it all the way today with Winder. If you could explain that.
You know, and to be fair, I know that the House has an ethics committee, and I've been actually going through the rules again on what I can do with that. And the Senate doesn't really have the same format as the House does. And hopefully Maria being, not only is she our director, but her husband, Ron Nate, has been a stellar representative for Idaho for many sessions. And she may be able to touch better on this, on the ethics. But what I'm reading here is, they really don't have anything to bring us up on ethics, as far as I'm reading. So, but I don't want to. I just want to maybe pass that baton on to others that might know better than me on that.
Okay, I guess I was thinking, because it seems to me that these your competitors were given a leg up. That seems like an ethics complaint. So, what would Chuck Winder's ethics complaint process be?
Well, and you know, and I haven't found out for sure if that's the case. It was, you know, coincidence or not coincidence, but our local paper here, the Magic Valley Times News, put out an article on what happened to me, and they did reach out, and I did give a statement, but I don't receive their paper because they're a liberal paper and I just don't want to pay for it, but they, from what I'm understanding, I'm on the front page and then she's announcing her candidacy against me at the same time in that paper. And again, I have to verify that because I don't get the paper, but it really is interesting that she comes out the same time this is coming out. You know, is it coincidence? Is it by design? I don't know at this time.
Gotcha. And the only thing that I took a note today, that on the Nate Shulman show, Chuck Winder said he is the gatekeeper. So when he says this and he said, oh, I take screenshots, oh, we determine whether they're degrading, disparaging, he just doesn't explain any of that. And they don't have a committee. So would you consider him being like the king of ethics on the House side? Like, is he the ruler, the king?
Well, personally, right now, I feel like he thinks he's the daddy, and that he has to. It almost feels like it's gaslighting to me, and trying to silence me. And I do have a First Amendment right to freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom to address and my grievances to my government. That doesn't stop when I become a senator. And so I feel like he's trying to be the gatekeeper. But, you know, I have so many incidences where I can call back that, you know, there's things that were said to us, you know, and Brian Lenny will probably share later on. You know, there was times where Senator Guthrie was calling out Brian Lenny, but nothing was ever brought up to Guthrie. You know, there's no standards there. I guess maybe we're going to have to go look at the ethics and maybe go over that and say, you know, this is what we need to do. And because there's double standards right now, they didn't go after Guthrie when he was, he really was being offensive to Lenny, but you know what? Lenny has a thick skin. You know, he's not bothered by that stuff. And obviously, I think that a lot of our Idaho Freedom Caucus members, we know why we ran. We know who got us here. It's the people, and we're going to fight for the people. And so because we are for them, they are not liking that. They're not liking that we're representing the people. And so, you know, him calling himself the gatekeeper. And then he was talking too on that same thing. He was talking about being a mentor. You know, I would like to challenge that. I was almost offended when he said that on the Nate Shulman show, because being the vice chair, they did not mentor me being a vice chair. I did not get any help or at all being the vice chair. And then I actually went to the leadership when they were all there, all five of them in their office. And I said, I need to talk to you because I feel like what you're doing is setting me up for failure. And my failure is a people's failure. You're not mentoring me in this position as vice chair. I did confront them on that. So when he says that he's a mentor, he's not, he hasn't been. And the gatekeeper. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably an accurate statement for him. He thinks he's the gatekeeper.
It's a big club and you guys aren't in it, huh? It's kind of what it sounded like.
Yeah.
I was just texted by a handy dandy Dale Hawkins representative, said Senate rule 52 states that if a complaint is filed with the pro tem, must assemble an ethics committee at that time. So he was threatening an ethics complaint, but if he were to do so, you guys would absolutely have a committee, I guess, potentially, right?
Yes. And you know what? And I think he is threatening, hoping that it would get us in line with whatever his gatekeeper, you know, agenda is. I don't know what it is, but because he didn't go forward with the ethics, you know, to the point where, you know, truth wins and truth is on our side, and he can't, you know, when he goes and looks at all those things that they're offended by, it's truth. You know, when you go look at my Substacks and my newsletters, I post links. All I am doing is trying to get the people to know what's going on. And there's not anything in my Substack that would require an ethics hearing. And I don't know if they would want to do that. I think that would be a huge mistake for them because we do have truth on our side.
I agree with that totally. And I think that basically, you know, he's probably doing at the beck and call of his donors, considering the same people you mentioned in your Substack article are the same ones who fund his campaign. Do any of the other hosts have any questions for Senator Zeiderfeld?
Well, I was, thank you again for coming. I was going to jump in really quickly and just remind people to go down and retweet the space. There's about, you know, 64 of us in here, and there's about 12 reposts. So let's see if we can double the amount of people really need to be hearing this. And it is recorded, so we will be sharing it later. And then Josh, we'll go to you in just a second. But I did want to mention, if there are speakers who I have brought up who have a question specifically right now on this particular topic, so go ahead and raise your hand. For Glenita, otherwise we'll keep moving and then bring some questions in a little bit later. So just hold that thought or drop them into the little pill black. It'll be purple or it'll be black depending upon what screen you look on. So Josh, did you have anything?
I'm actually really good right now. I just want to say thank you all for coming in, and I just want to let you all have as much time as you can because we're limited on time. So this is too important for me to sit up here and do my own one. So.
All right. Well, okay. So basically, plot twist, I know you saw it in my post, but we were supposed to have Senator Herndon on here. And later on, I'm going to have Maria Nate speak to Senator Herndon's situation. But I want to bring on Senator Brian Lenny. He's out of Nampa, Legislative District 13, and he had quite the deuce dropped on him today. So go ahead and tell us your story.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, totally.
Perfect. Sometimes I have this stupid microphone that only works half the time, but it's apparently working. So I think for people who aren't like entrenched in Idaho state politics, the big picture, 50,000 foot view of what happened, because you kind of heard little bits and pieces, is the Senator Chuck Winder sent three letters out, two of them last week. I got an email today. and you know, threatening us with formal ethics complaints, like we talked about, using the same type of language for all three of us, saying we've been disrespectful and degraded members of the Senate and et cetera, et cetera. And then myself and Senator Zijderveld were removed from our vice chair positions, which doesn't, if you're a vice chair, there's not like a lot of power there or any, it doesn't really matter per se. You still can vote. You still have a vote on the committee. Your vote still counts. You're not getting your pay docked, anything like that. But it was just, and then the tone of these letters, which are all posted online, I don't know if they're posted in the comments or if someone could post them in the comments, felt like a father scolding his child type thing. So that's kind of the big picture thing. Senator Zijderveld talked about her. So I got an email today, I don't really know, around lunch or something like that. And it was, said, hey, we sent you this letter in the mail. It must have got lost in the mail. I haven't seen it, so I guess it did. But in case you didn't get it, you were supposed to get it last week. And here's a PDF, by the way, you're removed from your vice chair position. So I could read a chunk of it. And the thing I'll say about this as well is, somebody said I have pretty thick skin, I'm of the persuasion. I heard someone say today, they said, hey, if you're going to call me an asshole, at least spell my name right. I have thick skin and I can take it. So that's not the issue. The issue is much bigger than that. It's not that people are disparaging or critical of people all the time. Welcome to politics. Look at what's going on in Washington, D.C. They're like physically fist fighting. Look at all the speaker fight with Matt Gaetz and stuff like that. So we're seeing that type of thing start to kind of slowly bubble up here in Idaho politics. So I got an email today. And mind you, all of the three senators who were being, I would say, allegedly, in my opinion, targeted with this type of thing, we're all fresh. We haven't even been senators for 1 year. So you have a 20-year plus veteran threatening three brand new senators who happen to all be in the Freedom Caucus. And, so that's something to think about. But let me read you kind of the first paragraph, and the rest is just, not as... I don't know. I'll read you the first paragraph. That's where most of the meat is. Dear Senator Linney, again, I got this just like sometime after lunch today. I don't know when it was. I just opened my email and here it was. It has been brought to my attention that on countless occasions you have aggressively attacked, disparaged, and degraded fellow members of the Senate. That's news to me. I don't think aggressively attack implies like physical force to me. So that never happened. Okay, and it goes on. Members of the Senate, members of Senate leadership, kind of the same thing, and members of the general public. Okay, no examples. No, like, for instance, on this day you said this, on this day you did this. But there's no examples in the whole letter, and that's also very troubling to me. Further, you have continually disrespected and harmed the legislative process by violating rules governing decorum. Okay. What example? Like, yes, there was a couple times, literally like three times, I think, maybe just two times on the Senate floor where the Scott Bedke, the president, who he's our lieutenant governor, he resides over the Senate floor. So he's kind of the one who, that's what he does. He makes sure we're following rules and everything. There was a couple times he said, Senator Lenny, kind of, you got to watch your tone there. And one of them I think it was just two times. I could be wrong. But one of them was because I was criticizing a bill, not a person, not another senator. I was criticizing a bill, which doesn't have rights and feelings. It's a bill for not being a free market solution. I said, this is something they do in socialist countries. It's called central planning, the Idaho launch bill, which Senator Winder and his buddies voted for. So I got yelled at for, so Scott Bedke said, hey, whoa, watch your tone there. I wasn't calling anyone a socialist. I was criticizing a bill. The other time was when I stood up and said, I can't believe that we haven't killed one budget bill this year. I'm just paraphrasing. I said, it's amazing to me that we just pass every single budget bill. And someone stood up, I object. And blah. So those aren't criticizing people. Those are just saying like, hey guys, what's going on here? So anyway, but he said, I continually harmed the legislative process. That's a bit, to use a buzzword from 2020 and going into today, that seems a bit extreme to me. Then he goes on, he says, although we expect senators to advocate zealously on behalf of their constituents, okay, I did that, but I got in trouble for it, I guess. Senators must do so in a manner that protects the integrity of the process and ensures the people's business may be done in an efficient and effective manner, blah, 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 blah. Goes on to say, if you keep doing this, so he threatens us, all three of us got this same kind of last paragraph, we're going to pursue an ethics complaint against you. I would love that. I mean, if that happened, all it would do is shine light on these things. It would bring more attention to what's really going on in Idaho politics. So we're threatened with, it has a very scolding tone. You can go read the letters online. They're on my Twitter. They're on all over press releases, stuff like that. So that's kind of the short version there. I'm no longer the vice chair of Commerce and Human Resources Committee. I got scolded. I got threatened. And I think at the end of the day, this is the weaponization of leadership. And I think, Lauren, you were talking about it's selectively enforcing rules, because there are people who I actually get along with on a social level, you know, socially get along fine with, who have said vile, vile things about us. They haven't got a letter like this. There's things that have happened in the past with legislators who are now in leadership roles where you would think they would be, you know, potentially dismissed from their position overall. For instance, there was someone who threatened us, a senior member of the Senate, not leadership, but we were threatened, myself and fellow senators. We have the receipts. I have the dates and times, know what was said. We were threatened three different times. My second week in the Senate, I was directly threatened, three separate times by the same individual. We brought that up to Senator Winder. He did nothing about it. So this is selective, in my opinion, selective faux outrage by one man, because he's trying to minimize what we're doing. Because for so long, for people who don't know, Idaho, we have 105 legislators at the state level. In 2022, 40 of them became new through some people retired, but most of those were through elections. Like, for instance, my election, I totally, I beat my opponent by an impressive margin. And he announced, by the way, I got an email. I got this from Chuck today. Chuck went on the Nate Shellman show and told the world about this today. And guess what? The same day this happened, the guy I beat last time announced again. He officially announced again. So the timing of it is peculiar. Not peculiar? How do you say that? It's not illegal or anything. I'm guessing there's a lot of coordination behind the scenes to kind of throw us under the bus with these types of things. That's if I had to guess. But what happened last year is a lot of really conservative people got elected. I'm a first-time senator. Like I said, I haven't been a senator for more than 1 year. And I'm getting thrown off committees and told I can't use my freedom of speech and expression. So that's kind of the short version. There's more to say. I mean, Chuck went on today and said he provided some, he didn't tell, here's another thing. And I'll shut up after this. I swear. I know I'm talking a lot. I want to get this out. Here's another thing. I haven't talked to Chuck for almost 8 months. So if this was such a problem that he said existed during the, why now? Why right before the session starts? Why when all these people are announcing their elections? He hasn't called me. Can you pick up the phone and call me? Can he say, hey, Brian, let's go grab coffee. Hey, I noticed some stuff. And, you know, then I'd be okay. You know, no, it's an email. It's scorched earth email. Who does this? It's like breaking up with someone by an email, right? And but what he did do, he didn't tell me the reasons in my letter, but what he did do is go on the Nate Shellman show today. It was a great show, by the way. Nate Shellman, good host, entertaining, fun to listen to. And he said the catalyst for me personally was I used the R word, which is retard. He said, I called another elected official a retard. That's what he said. Which makes most people think, oh, did you go in someone's off? No, I refer. I was using a quote from Tropic Thunder. Most people on here have heard the movie. They've seen the movie. There's a saying in that they say you never go full retard. It's from Tropic Thunder. It has nothing to do with it. Everyone gets it. So I did a tweet, I don't know, a couple weeks ago where I said Joe Biden and Kamala Harris went full retard. That's all I said. They went full retard because it's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So Chuck gets on the show and says he removed me as a vice chair because I called Kamala Harris and Joe. I didn't even call them that. I said they went full retard. That's one reason. Reason number two is because he said on Nate Shulman's show, I criticized our former attorney general's wife, Tracy Wasden. She's someone in Idaho politics who's on the more, you know, left of center type, in my opinion, moderate to left of center on a lot of things. We don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. Tracy Wasden has and her group have said vile, horrible things about me online. And I'm okay with it. I'm like, welcome to politics. So, you know, like I said, if you're going to call me an a-hole, at least spell my name right. It's L-E-N-N-E-Y. But so he said the two things that caused it, or at least the straw that broke the camel's back, maybe, were I called our Joe Biden and Kamala. I said they went full retard. And I criticized a member of the general public who is in a Republican women's group because I didn't like her stance on something. These are small potatoes in my opinion, but that's the short version. I'm talking way too much. I apologize. Someone else pick it back up.
Well, Brian, this is, yeah, you weren't talking enough. I was actually quite riveted, but I am also learning a lot. So if we don't say, Brian, time out, don't worry about it. What you're saying is actually quite interesting. One question I had, and I am new to Idaho. I've been here 2 years. I am from California, but I am now Idaho, and I am here trying to do anything possible to make sure that what is happening that I have seen happening the last 2 years does not continue, right? And that I'm coming to make changes. I do not want to see this turn into California. But anyway, what I'm hearing and it sounds like is you guys are all in the same party, right? These are all what I'm hearing mostly, maybe not all, but Republicans. So you've got Republican leadership attacking fellow Republicans, correct?
That's correct. And I mean, so there's people, and I'm not going to name the incidents or the person because I actually get along with this person like fairly well. Like I said, just at a normal social level, I get along with this person very well. But during the legislative session, they said some stuff online. You know, it was online, you know, mean tweets kind of thing. But there was pretty reprehensible. I didn't file an ethics complaint or whatever because I'm like, yeah, that's someone who I don't like. Welcome to politics, like I said. But yeah, this is Idaho is a Republican trifecta, meaning we have an executive branch, the House and the Senate are all controlled by Republicans, but that does not, as we all know, or as a lot of us maybe are starting to figure out, that does not mean we have a conservative trifecta. You know, there's very, I don't like the term rhino personally. I don't dislike it. I just don't think it's very clear because it's kind of a nuanced thing that people go, what does that mean? So I just say we have very liberal Republicans in Idaho. I spoke at this business thing this morning, this business group, which that was fun. And I read portions of an article by the Daily Wire. Maybe if someone knows the article I'm talking about, they could find it and post it. It's fascinating. But CPAC did a study. They did a study of 7,400 legislators. That's apparently how many are all 50 states in the United States are 7,400 state legislators. And they studied and they said, we want to find the most conservative Republicans and the most liberal Democrats. Lo and behold, everything's backwards. They said Idaho has, out of all the 50 states, we're like number 10, or I should say number 40, if one is the best and 50 is the worst. We're in the bottom 10 states in the category of the most liberal Republicans. I knew that anyway, but having a study where they went out and measured it, they did it all by votes. It wasn't subjective. It wasn't so-and-so. They said, based on things conservatives should vote for and things liberals should vote for, Idaho and it's on the Daily Wire or CPAC, Idaho has some of the most liberal Republicans in the nation. Fact, objective, peer-reviewed, all that fun stuff that they try to say. So that's kind of what's going on. And then you have members of, and it's not just members of the Idaho Freedom Caucus. Yes, we're our own little crew. That's why we called ourselves the Idaho Freedom Caucus. There's other conservative legislators in the House and Senate as well. But the majority of, in my opinion, of the 105 legislators are moderate to liberal. Center to left of center to way left of center. So people like myself and the Idaho Freedom Caucus, I think we're on the we're not even far right. You know what it is? You've seen that Elon Musk meme he posted a couple years ago where, like, the things that we're pushing and that we're fighting for in the Idaho State House, the Freedom Caucus members, these are things that were just normal conservative things when I was in high school in the 90s. Bill Clinton would be considered not his moral life, but economically and stuff like that. Bill Clinton was for against same-sex marriage. You know, like, Bill Clinton would be probably considered right of center today, his politics. So the people on the right, we didn't move far right. Everyone else just moved so far left. So that's what we're dealing with in Idaho. And interestingly enough, if someone will probably post that link. Some of the most conservative Republicans, this shouldn't be a shock, are in blue states like California. California Republicans vote much more conservatively than Idaho Republicans, for instance. So everything's backwards, right? So that's kind of what we're dealing with. So we go in there and are, you know, we've been painted as right-wing extremists, and everyone's seen all the buzzwords. That's ever since, you know, Trump came around. Normal conservatives are now suddenly right-wing extremists. So a lot of what we're doing is we're going, and this is Glenita, Senator Zidervelt, she's huge on this. You can go in there and expose corruption. You can go in the dark room and turn the light on, and people don't like that. People don't like when you come in the room and turn the light on. So it's like, they're not getting mad for what you're, like, how dare you turn the light on and let people see what we're doing? Well, if you're in government, you're supposed to be transparent, you know? We work for the people. We don't work for leadership. We don't work this legally. We don't work for anybody but the people who elected us. The governor is not our boss. Chuck Winder is not our boss. He is the gatekeeper. The Senate pro tem does have the authority to decide who's on what committee and who's on chairs and vice chair and stuff like that. But he's not my dad and he's not my boss. And these letters we all three got all had the same tone. It sounded like a kid who got in trouble in high school and his dad wrote him a letter and told him to knock it off. So,
all right. So real quick, up in the Jumbotron, I posted the article you're discussing. And if you flip back one on the Jumbotron, I posted the Stop Idaho Rhinos assessment, and it's per the GOP platform. But it's how they voted this last session versus what it actually is. So you guys can get a visual on Idaho is not actually as Republican as you think or conservative as you think. But I do have a question for Brian, and this is going to be kind of a zinger. So the other day we were on a podcast called Freedom Bros, and Senator Tammy Nichols, Legislative District 10, you can see her. She's up in like the speaker spot. So by the way, follow all these people, all the speakers. It's common etiquette on X Spaces, but so the other day she was on Freedom Bros and she was talking about the RAC card. So there's these three RAC cards that went out, and it was against Senator Tammy Nichols, Senator Brian Lenny, and Senator Chris Traikel. And all three of these RAC cards called you guys liberals, which was quite the switch, because normally you guys are extremists, right-wing extremists. So it's funny to see, you know, them call you liberals. And if I remember correctly, even the liberal Idaho liberals came out and were pissed, because they were like, they're not liberals, but anyway, so these were funded by what was called the Liberty Fund, and it is supposedly the governor's PAC. It is the governor's PAC is the Liberty Fund, and the guy delivering, door knocking with these RAC cards told Senator Tammy Nichols that the governor is behind this, and his Liberty Fund paid for this. And so if you look back to Sunshine, you guys, if you don't know, Sunshine Report is like the best transparency on the planet to know who is taking dirty money. If you go look at the Idaho Liberty Fund, their largest donor was the Idaho Victory Fund, which I had talked about at the beginning of the space. That is essentially IACI. It's all the same donors. And they gave $235,000 to Idaho Liberty Fund. So that right there tells me, okay, is it possible that Governor Little funded RAC cards against those three senators? And then just before this space, Representative Heather Scott, Legislative District 2, she tweeted something about the governor's demands. So you have that, and you have all these letters coming out. You're being attacked on two fronts. Do you think they're related and associated with an attack by actually from the top, Governor Little?
Those dots for me in my head are kind of easy to connect. It would just be conjecture. But when you look at all of these things are public, right? So you can see who funded what, who donated to what. And when you start to like really dig into this stuff, you can start to see like, well, okay, well, who donated and who donated to them. And this, so for instance, the Idaho Victory Fund donated several hundred thousand dollars to this PAC, passing out these cards saying we're like far left progressives and stuff like that. And like you said, against myself, Senator Tammy Nichols and Senator Chris Traikle, all freshman senators, all in Canyon County. That's interesting. But, you know, the reason, let me get back to, you can, okay, so Idaho Liberty PAC paid for those. Okay, well, who are Idaho Liberty PAC's biggest donors? Idaho Victory Fund, Melaleuca, there's others, Tommy Alquist and his businesses. So, okay, well, who donated to Idaho Victory Fund? So, I mean, through a series of unfortunate events, you can kind of trace it back to individual people and companies. But, you know, welcome to, for me, it's not terribly like a nefarious thing. I'm just like, welcome to politics, right? Like, I mean, it's not illegal, but it is interesting when you start to make these connections. Of course, IACI's against me. I'm more interested in fighting for individual rights over corporate interests. Facebook is on their board of directors, Micron, JR Simplot, all these massive companies. That's why we have the Idaho launch bill. That's why Facebook got corporate welfare for a data center. That's like when you start to put corporate interests over, and you can have both. Obviously, I'm a capitalist. We need companies and such. But when those corporate interests start to stomp on individual rights, that's when we have a problem. And in my opinion, allegedly, don't want to get sued by someone, God forbid, for saying something. In my opinion, when corporate interests conflict with individual rights and liberties, I will always side with individual rights and liberties. And for that, we're getting shellacked, because if we do that, some of these companies aren't going to get their bills and their free government handouts and their gigantic training programs that are funded by not the government, they're funded by Idaho taxpayers. So I'm paying for free starting July 1st. I started paying for Idaho high schoolers to graduate and go to college and get a job at an IACI-approved company, because the Workforce Development Council, I think, is that what it's called, Glenita? I think it is, or someone who knows. They're the ones who decide who wants this. Okay, we're going to give you money for free college in air quotes. Well, there's a workforce. I forgot the name of it. I think that's what it's called, but someone can correct me later.
It's called the False Gatekeepers.
The what?
It's the False Gatekeepers.
Oh, I'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah, because the gatekeepers actually, it goes all the way back to biblical and managing your herd. But the gatekeepers are, in today's terms, maybe described as, say, you read the newspaper, which is completely, you know, taken over. But the editors would decide, okay, they would receive the stories that are being told, and then the gatekeepers would decide what news is being let out. There lies the challenge. To sit on the fence and to be lukewarm and to not fight entirely for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our children and the things that really stand for it. It's a battle that's going on right now, but the evil is not gonna win. We're just in the battle, and it's not a time to give up. And Brother Brian, it's so nice to hear you speak. I'm an Idahoan as well, too, and you're in a position of power, and you have the podium. So should they give you the mic or whatever like that, I always appreciate hearing anyone who's representing us. And I thank Miss Lauren as well, too. I follow her on Twitter. I'm not such an outspoken guy, but what's going down right now is actually a biblical battle. We know it's a spiritual battle. We know it's a political battle. The Bible says that there's three domains that Satan wants to take over, and that's the political domain, the economic, and the religious. And so here we are, and we're divided right down the middle. But I think persistence and hard work, if you stand for something, whatever that might be, I'm not trying to be preaching to anybody or whatever like that. I think we win because the truth always does win. We just need to separate it out. And I just love this space that Miss Lauren is putting on tonight that just gathers. Even though there's 68 people in the chat, it doesn't take more than that. In the Bible, David, a shepherd boy, took down Goliath, just like he took down the bear, just like he took down the wolf, the lion. You know, this is getting ridiculous. The narrative is really something else. And back to the gatekeepers. I just want to, you know, I pray a blessing over this group and those who have ears and ears to hear and a heart and are putting on the full armor of God and are standing up to this like that. We win. But we have to be coordinated, and we have to, if we're taking on, I am always suspect of anyone who comes up and they're a self-professing gatekeeper. Good night of living. That should be the first flag. So I'm sorry to go off on a rant, y'all, but this is the first time, and I'm so happy to be in this space and sending you guys love and in a proper spirit and a proper frequency. We got to be righteous now. We got to be righteous now, right about now.
I like this guy. No, thank you. That's I like it. And yeah,
And Lenny, you're correct. The governor actually appoints the people who are going to be over the age 24 that is the launch. They're going to be the ones that dictate where the money is going to actually benefit the corporations that IACI is clients over.
Thank you. Yeah. So that council who decides that's in the governor's office. And I'm guessing Dominic on here? Dominic Brandon. He's one of our GOP state committeemen. He's on here. Dominic Brandon stood up in my committee that I used to be the vice chair of when I woke up this morning, that I'm no longer the vice chair of. He got up and testified against that bill. And he said, this is how we become California. This is not free. Dominic had an amazing, he always has these testimonies that are just out of nowhere. Like where me, I have to have some kind of notes or bullet points. He just comes up with stuff, but there he is.
Dominic, you guys should follow him. Yeah, I was going to say, Dominic, why don't you request a mic and we'll bring you up.
Dominic has a lot. Yeah, he's a great, he's a mover and shaker in Idaho politics, especially Canyon County. And
I sent him a mic. Dom, take your mic.
And I just want to say that Lenny doesn't need notes. You know what? The Senate is not boring because of Lenny. So he doesn't need notes. He does a great job.
No, I'm saying if I don't have some kind of bullet points to keep me on track, we'll be off talking about like something crazy. Is Dominic have a mic yet? Is he up?
I'm here.
In a position where he can't talk. I don't know.
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. So I don't know if you wanted to pick up on this, what I was going to say, and Ron Nate touched on this too, but you also touched on it in your testimony on the cronyism. And that's what we see a lot of in the government, especially with this launch bill.
Yeah.
And when we speak up on it, people aren't happy about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. No, I got in the committee room right after, they had ISP go threaten Ron Nate. I guess Ron Nate was a real threat. I mean, you know, threatening Ron Nate is it's absurd. I missed that, but everything I see happening with it's just capital cronyism, and it's very similar to California in the 80s and really the 90s, and early 2000s. This is very similar to where Republicans are are just whoring themselves out to special interest groups, to corporate interests. That's it. And they're claiming to be one thing to the voters, and they're doing something very different with the voters' money. And, you know, things in Idaho are great still. It's still a great place to live. It's relatively safe. We're an open carry state. The economic opportunity is still awesome here. I think the whole country has been hanging on. Side note, we're still hanging on because of the Trump economy. Like, where Trump had the economy going so well, we've been able to kind of, you know, skirt by until more recently. You know, if we didn't have Trump as president, and then it'd be way worse now. It carried us for a little while, and it still is to some degree, in my humble opinion. But it's really capital cronyism, and they don't like when it's pointed out. And it's all about the money. Everything I'm seeing happen to you and to Glenita and to Scott, it all comes back to the money has to keep flowing. And I don't believe for a moment that Winder was actually offended by anything. I think the establishment is offended at people turning on the spotlight, just like Trump turned on the spotlight, just like Trump showcased the fraud and the lies and everything else. That's where the real offense is, and everything else is just faux. And they need that money to keep flowing. We're heavily dependent upon federal dollars now. I mean, the state budget's gone up 75% in 6 years, and the population went up, I think, 13 or 14. So anyway, hopefully that's what you guys are looking for. But I testified in that was fun, and I don't know if it was effective, but it was fun.
Really quick, hey. Tom, thank you. Sorry, really quick, and then I'll get right back to you, Lauren. One of the things about this space and spaces like them, the reason that this space, AssembleX, was formed was because we have spent, and many of you have been on Twitter or X for a while, constantly are on spaces where things are being discussed. They said this. They did this wrong. This is the way they should do it. This is the way it should be done, blah, back and forth. But there's not always a solution or a set of solutions that come out of the space itself. And so just thinking on that, think about, and it doesn't have to be right now, but what are the action items that we could talk about maybe next week that came out of this week's call that any of us could take action on? We could ask people, our neighbors, to take action on. What can we do to help raise awareness of all this stuff going on? I know it's easier said than done, but, you know, one bite of the elephant at a time, and we can get there. And sorry I butted in, but I just feel really, really strongly about, I sat around for too long in California, and before I knew it was gone, right? I do not want to do that here, and I don't want it to happen to my child, so, and your children. So anyway, that's my soapbox.
So I wanted to say, real quick, we are going to have call to actions at the end of this. So don't worry about like wrapping it up. We are going to say some at this week, but at this point I would like to hand the mic off to Maria Nate. She's the Idaho Freedom Caucus director. And I would like to apologize. I have some questions, and I hope I didn't get your legislators in trouble at all. So handing off the mic to Maria.
No, I think that Chuck Winder has letters aplenty to distribute to all of the senators with whom he disagrees. So these guys are great. They speak their mind. Hey, P.S. Chuck, Daddy Chuck Winder, when you get elected as a senator, you don't give up your freedom of speech. So maybe somebody needs to give Chuck Winder one of those pocket constitutions so that he can have that on reference, keep that at his desk. Maybe that would be helpful. What is happening here in the Idaho legislature is just absolutely authoritarianism. And you have a tyrannical pro tem who feels like he has the right to tell these senators to sit down and shut up. And fortunately, these senators aren't going to take that. And you can see them. These people are absolutely fearless when it comes to standing up to this kind of ridiculous bullshit coming from Chuck Winder. And they bring down the fire and we will bring down the fire. And that is the power of the Idaho Freedom Caucus. You have a group of legislators who are single-minded in their focus to bring freedom to the people of Idaho. They are not going to sit back and just be little Iyaki monkeys that vote yes, yes, yes on every budget. Every time you vote yes, a dollar bill goes into your mouth. That's kind of what Iyaki wants, little monkeys. And these guys are not monkeys. Okay, they're legit, serious legislators who take this job seriously. They are servant leaders. They are there to do the work of the people. Chuck Winder is there to carry the water for Iyaki. And that's why he's so pissed off right now, is because Glenita shined the light on what is going on there. That Winder is mad because of a meme that is him carrying Iyaki's water. You know why he's mad? Because it's absolutely true. And we have found their little soft underbelly, and we're going to go for it. We know who they are. I like to say that old Chuck Winder has pulled up his little mask, and now we can see his lizard skin. It's like, you can see it now. We know who he is. And now we know that he's upset. We know exactly what's making him upset. And it's because this group of legislators came in, like I said, singly focused on the task at hand, and they started to expose what is going on there. And for so long, the Senate has operated in this little cloak of decorum. We don't do this in the Senate. We have decorum. So what they do is in the Senate, they fake it like they like each other. And then they go behind the scenes and they skirmish. They do all of this work behind the scenes because they want to maintain decorum in the Senate. So I like to explain Chuck Winder as he's an iron fist in a velvet glove. So he'll stroke your face, all the while he's sticking the shiv in your back. And that's what he's doing right now. And I'm just, these guys are awesome because they won't take it anymore. They're like, we're here to do the people's work, Chuck. You're not my daddy. So we're not going to sit down and shut up.
And I know that Scott Herndon is not here to have the conversation, but he did not get removed from a committee or a seat. He was just threatened. But I want you to go and read, I put it on the Jumbotron, his article. It's about JFAC and it joint, what is it? It's Appropriations Committee. It's where we joint spend all finance. The money.
Mm-hmm. Finance. Let's talk a little bit about Scott Herndon and what he's in trouble for. He's in trouble because of nothing, because everything that Chuck Winder put in that letter to Scott is factually untrue. Chuck Winder owes an apology to Scott Herndon. Scott did not call out by name anybody. Scott actually carried budgets, and Chuck is trying to say, listen to this language that he's using. I was surprised to hear that you only worked on one small budget. If you want to continue to serve on the JFAC committee, I expect you to take your duty seriously like your colleagues have and work on several budgets. Excuse me, Chuck. Have you ever met Scott Herndon? That dude is one of the freaking hardest workers in the legislature. And how offensive is it for him to be called out by this old man who has been in public office for longer than some of you have been alive? It's just absolutely ridiculous. And then he continues on. He's not done with his little lecture. If you are not willing to do so, I ask that you resign from the committee so someone else willing to do the work may assume your seat. Hello, Chuck. Scott did carry budgets. Scott worked on several budgets. Scott does the work. So for you to sit there and say that he doesn't do the work is an absolute lie. And I think you need to pull out one of these letters and send it to your own self. Because I think that this actually does rise to the level of an ethics complaint when you're lying about your fellow senators and sending it out for everyone to see. It's enough. And I just want to bring in one little other thing of intrigue. Who is running the Senate right now? You have Pro Tem. And then you also have Scott Bedke, who is the one that sort of sits up on the podium and manages it. Scott Bedke is known for his authoritarian nature in the House. That dude was a monster over there. He's the one that stripped Heather Scott of her committeeship. He treated Heather Scott with such disdain. It was absolutely disgusting. People were so glad to see him go. It's like a breath of fresh air in the House right now, because Bedke's not there lording over it. But it looks like he took his little authoritarian nature and he just slithered on over to the Senate. And now he's ruling the Senate the same way. And so you got authoritarian Scott Bedke and his little authoritarian Chuck Winder, and they're trying to rule over the Senate. And these Freedom Caucus members are not having any of it. They're not going to take it. And they're standing up and they're fighting back. And this is not the way they want to see it done. And so this is what you get. You get letters. Okay. So that is an overview. And you think that there's intrigue and excitement going on in the national, like in Congress. This kind of crap is happening right here in Idaho. And the fact is, Idaho is such a small state that you can impact it very quickly, very cheaply. And so that's exactly what they are doing. They have figured out how to monetize government, and they are taking that and they're pushing it and flooding it through to all their corporate cronies. And then when their little bought and paid for legislators vote yes, 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 yes on every budget, they get rewarded with $1,000, $1,000, $1,000. We need to make NASCAR jackets, like sponsor jackets, for these crazy rhino legislators, so that we can all have a visual of who has bought and paid for them. It's just absolutely obscene what is happening here in Idaho. So that's my rant. I can say whatever I want, because Chuck Winder, you don't tell me what to do. So go ahead, send me a letter. Bring it.
That was fire. Maria, you are fire. Now everybody knows why she's the Idaho Freedom Caucus director. She is on fire. Yeah, and I want to come piggyback and say that I happen to maybe have been in the office during Scott Herndon doing JFAC stuff. And I know for a fact that man worked harder. That man pulled statistics and data and graphics and, you know, went through the state controller site. That guy did so much work, and he grilled everyone in there with their hand out asking for money. I mean, he was the only one, one of the only ones with just facts just going hard in front of people when they were, because the first beginning of session, they come in and beg for money. So he was looking up how much money we spend towards like Pride. If you guys didn't know this, certain organizations donate money, like IDHW, Idaho School Board, donate money to Pride, all that stuff. They pay for vendors. And it, like, he was on top of all of that. That guy was the hardest, one of the hardest working guys in JFAC. So for them to have said that, oh, if you don't want to do your job, if you don't want to do your job means if you don't want to vote for every single appropriations bill, which is total baloney, because we all know that it's all fluff. It's all money packed in for their IACI buddies or whatnot, right?
Oh, absolutely. The day of the Idaho launch vote, the director of IACI was slithering around the Capitol. That dude never shows up at the Capitol. But that day he did, because he needed everyone to know that he was there and he was watching. And he lorded himself over there in the lobby safe in the throne as he watched all of his little puppets perform beautifully. I cannot explain to you how dirty and nasty it is and how easily manipulated these senators are and these representatives. And man, I don't know, maybe I'm going to get in trouble for this, but when you have a senator stand up on the floor and say, this is approved by IACI, it's like cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. It's so ridiculous. Oh, and P.S., you want to know what the rating metric is for an Iaki bill? Okay, I know this might be a little complicated, so hang with me. Vote in line with Iaki, plus one. Vote out of line with Iaki, minus one. That's it. That's the metric. So, yeah, you should not be surprised when they get what they want, they pay for what they want, they recycle the money through government, and here we are. So when you have a group of legislators who are willing to stand up to this kind of power, this is what you get.
I just want to intervene that I want to be like Maria when I grow up.
I want to be like you, Glenita.
So I guess we'll kind of go into like some call to action, because we're not just here to talk and, you know, express what happened. We need to do something about it, right? So if all of you don't know, there is a website called emailidaho.com. And if you go to emailidaho.com, you can email committees, certain committees, Senate or House, or you can email the entire House, or you can email the entire Senate, or you can email both altogether. And I don't know if you know this, if you guys follow me, you will see that I've posted one that I sent earlier, which is, when are these people going to get their letters? And I threw tweets in from, it was Stephanie Mickelson, Rod Furness, and who was the third one? Jeff Schroeder. And those were all representatives and senators. And I actually received a response back from Rod Furness, and him and I went back and forth a little bit. He's the guy who did the PPP, the pee and the poop in and the periods. He's the guy who stood up and made a total mockery of us. He actually went TikTok viral. But so go to emailidaho.com and email all or a few, or if you want to just email pro tem Chuck Winder, his email address is C as in Charlie, and then Winder, W-I-N-D-E-R, at senate.idaho.gov. Or guess what? We have his personal email. It is chuck@winderco.com. So feel free to email him personally, and you can call him. His phone number is 208-332-1354. And we have one more announcement. It's a launch within a launch. It's a kind of a big deal. So Stop
hold,
Idaho.
Then let's, you know what? Let's hold that, because I know how big it is. So before you go to that, I wanted to kind of do a reset of the room. Make sure you do. I don't want people to miss this part. Make sure you do retweet the room. Please be sure everyone to follow all of the speakers that are on stage. And if there's anybody here in the audience, make sure to request a mic. Let's get some questions going for some of these guests that have joined us tonight. We'd love to hear from other people, because next week we'd love to see this number of people double with the topic, you know, to be determined, obviously, but you know, bring a couple friends, invite your family. Let's get people signed up for Twitter. We have the platform, thank God, for Elon Musk. We've got to figure out how to use it to our advantage, because otherwise, you know, imagine if this did not exist. So sorry to interrupt you, Lauren. I just did want to mention a couple of those important things.
Yes. So the next announcement is really big. Actually, none of our guests or speakers know that this is happening. Hopefully Sia posts it to the Jumbotron. I sent her the link. And a disclaimer, it's unrelated to any of the guests. Nobody knows this is occurring, but Stop Idaho Rhinos has created a brand new project. And if you don't know them, you should go follow them. They're in here listening. They're the one with the state logo on it with the little rhino. And Stop Idaho Rhinos is basically a pack that shines the light on Republican legislators that are not actually Republican. So all of the stuff we're talking about tonight during session, they're posting clips. They're constantly posting their voting records. Like, they're not attacking with conjecture or maliciousness. They're absolutely fighting against the bad people that on their own, like of their own merit, should not be elected. And if you go, I hope she posts, are you going to post it, Saya? Or sorry, see? Oh, there it is.
It should be the first one. Yeah, if you, the farthest one is to the left. Is that not the right one?
It's not that
okay.
one.
I'll find it.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. It's up. Okay. So there is a new project out. Again, disclaimer, nothing to do with our guests. And it's called Donate to Defeat. So what they're going to do is you can go to their website right now and you can pick who you want to donate money towards. And what it is it's the it is Chuck Winder, it is Jeff Agenbrod, and it is Alex Cavall. So it is Glendita's opposition, it is Lenny's opposition, and then obviously Chuck Winder, who we've been talking about tonight. So there will be a drop-down function. You can pick who you want to donate towards. And when the race, it's going to be like a race, and whoever gets the most, will hopefully all three of them fill up. But you'll see daily, they'll post updates, and it'll be like whoever has the most money, they're going to run ads against them in their district. So it's a grassroots thing where it's interactivity. You can go in and you can pick who you want to donate money to create an ad against. So kind of a novel idea, probably going to be expanded, but we want you to know, and if you're not following Stop Idaho Rhinos, go do that right now, that this is happening. It's a big deal. No one's ever done anything like this, so this will be super fun.
Hey, Lauren, I want to weigh in.
Go, team, go.
All right. So, shameless plug. I mean, I'm not Stop Idaho Rhinos. I might be friends with some people that do stuff there, but, that's a pack I've donated to. I donate to them on a regular basis. They call it Rhino Insurance. And I just thought that was cool. That was a neat idea. I think it's a monthly that I'm doing. I don't know if it's 50 or 100 bucks, but it's kind of nice that I just said auto pay. And I'm like, I'm constantly funding, you know, the fight against rhinos, because rhinos are the problem in Idaho. It's our voters are conservative. It's the legislators and the executive and judicial branch that isn't. But so that's something you guys might want to consider too. I mean, I'm probably embarrassing the guy, but I don't care. Rhino insurance, you can pick your own plan. It's great. But what I really want to say about Stop Idaho Rhinos is they were instrumental in flipping several seats in Canyon County, and I'm talking about, you know, Governor's Golden Boy, Greg Cheney, and others that are heavily favored by the establishment, well-connected with all the cronies. I mean, you know, ostensibly untouchable, quote-unquote untouchable. And Stop Idaho Rhinos, they're very, like, efficient and strategic with their strikes. They're not just, like, throwing things against the wall. They're digging in, getting data, and putting out real data that people are like, whoa, I didn't know that senator, that rep did this. Wow, that they voted for that? They voted with Democrats? What's going on? And so they've been really, really effective. Again, they're friends of mine, so it's obviously biased, but I want to tell everyone out there, it's worth it. The money they take in and what they can do with it, I'm always impressed with. So I'm regularly donating, and maybe you have other packs that you guys are donating to. There's probably a lot of them that are good. I know there's a lot of them, but that's the experience I've had with those guys for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Dom is a champion. We love him and he's kicking butt. And I know we just brought up Pat Itis. Would you like to speak or ask any questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I would encourage everybody to get on Rumble. It's a free platform that you can sign up for. And I'm not pitching it just for Rumble. It's because the Idaho Second Amendment Association is on there. And also there's a podcast called The Freedom Bros. I heard Senator Nichols' interview with them, and I actually learned a lot about Canyon County and what's going on, and even that little flyer that the pack out of Utah that's supposedly Governor Little's pack that's shaming her with it, it's all fake. It's all lies. It has nothing to do with her voting record. So I would just encourage everybody to get connected and get on that, because those two podcasts not only inform you about just Second Amendment rights and what's going on in Idaho, but there's also legislative links that they give you so you can stay informed and learn what Stop Idaho Rhinos is also telling everybody on X or Twitter.
Awesome. And I know that we have Senator Tammy Nichols up in the hopper. Did you want to say anything?
Hey, how's everybody doing? You know, I really appreciate having this to be able to utilize. It's a great idea to connect like-minded individuals together. So I think this is a great platform to utilize. And I just cannot emphasize enough what the situation is in Idaho and what we have going on. If you guys have not watched the Rocky Mountain heist, it's a documentary. You need to watch that. That explains a lot of what's transpiring in Idaho and how we have seen states flipped in just a few short years from a red conservative state to a purple or blue state. One of the things that we like to say when we travel around, when people find out we're from Idaho is, you know, they'll say, oh, well, that's a really conservative state. And we say, well, yes, we have very conservative people. We have very conservative values, but we are functioning under blue management. And it's becoming more and more apparent that that is what's transpiring. And that those that try to profess themselves as being staunch Republicans are the ones that are allowing a lot of this crap to come into our state. And so watch the Rocky Mountain heist. It explains a lot. It is exactly what we have transpiring in Idaho. And there's just no more time for sitting on the fence or the sidelines. People have to be engaged. They have to be involved. And we have to stand up and speak and work together. Our groups need to work together because there's strength in numbers. And I know that, you know, as conservatives, we're pretty independent people. We like to kind of do things on our own and, you know, just let me be and let me live my life. And that's great in a lot of things. But, you know, just like the Democrats, they stand strong together and they are always having each other's backs and working towards a common goal, even if that goal is not precisely the same one that each of them are wanting to accomplish. They see it as a bigger picture, and so they have no problem standing together and working together. And you know, we're seeing this continual divide within the Republican Party, and that's not a bad thing. You know, if you have an issue going on, you have to be able to call a spade in order to be able to deal with it. And that's what's transpiring. The light's being shown. People like Brian and Glenita and myself and a lot of our Freedom Caucus members are standing up and exposing that stuff. And they don't like having that exposure, but it's what needs to happen. It's how you can finally start dealing with things and figuring out what to do in order to be able to handle them. Because if you don't, then things just continue down the same road. And it's not going to end in a good position. So that's where we're at. But please watch that documentary. It's a great documentary. It makes things make a lot more sense. And, you know, there's good things happening. There are really, really good things happening. So, but we need your support. We need your help. We can't do this by ourselves. Unfortunately, elections take money, and that is just, you know, part of the thing. And then, yes, there, like Dawn was saying, there are great organizations out there that are fighting the good fight and supporting the good causes and supporting good candidates. And so we need to be helping them as well. You know, the left has a lot of money behind them. We're not as strong in that, but we can. If we can mix our dollars and our boots on the ground, we can be very effective. So that's kind of where we need to be taking our mindset is those two things, is to stand up and speak out, be strong, help pitch in some money, and be the boots on the ground because we're going to need it.
Can I chime in really quickly? Can you guys hear me?
Go for it.
Perfect. Perfect. First of all, Tammy, you got to be careful. You're going to get a letter. So just watch what you say.
I'm just anticipating it, Brian.
That's what she's working for.
Yeah, a couple things. I just dropped a link. So the Rocky Mountain Heist is weirdly difficult to find online. I have it posted on my website. It's embedded on my homepage. But I just put a link to it also where you can just click. I put in the comments here, there's 87 comments. There's a lot of really fun stuff. I was just scrolling through the comments. But I did drop a link where you can watch the Rocky Mountain Heist. It's less than an hour. I've watched it like 3 times. That's happening in Idaho right now, but definitely go watch that because it kind of, this isn't just happening. There's a blueprint for this and it's on purpose. So go watch the Rocky Mountain Heist. I mean, in up until 2007, Colorado was a Republican state. In 2004, the current governor of Colorado and a bunch of very, 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 very wealthy people said, hey, we're sick of this. We need to flip Colorado blue. And they had a blueprint and a plan. And they started in 2004. In 2007, if I'm remembering correctly, 2007 is when they achieved their plan. So it only took them about 3 years of distraction lawsuits of, just lambasting conservatives, trying to paint them as something other than conservative. All the things we're seeing in Idaho right now happen in Colorado. It's intentional, it's well-funded, and it's a plan. Like this thing, and this will be the last thing I say, then I got to get going and go do the bedtime routine with the kids and such. But I wanted to say this. I heard someone say once, there's three types of people in the world. Those who watch it happen, those who make it happen, and those who don't even know it's happening. So I like I told this business group this morning, I spoke at this, it wasn't even a political group, so I ruffled some feathers, but the owner of the business group said, come in here and say whatever you want. I'm like, okay, like you're gonna let me cook, I'm gonna cook. But I said, the time for observation is over. Now, no one wants to give to a political campaign. I don't wanna give to a political campaign. But like no one wants to support people. Like it's a tough time for people to make it right now financially, but the left is very, very well funded, like incredibly well funded. And when I say the left, I'm not talking about only Democrats. I'm talking about the left. Party affiliation does not matter. They're very well funded and they're very powerful and they have a plan and a blueprint and they do these things intentionally. So if you want Idaho to remain a red state, yes, we have, like, I think it was Dominic earlier said, great place to live. I'm from Southern California originally. I've lived in Nampa for 13 years. Great place to live. You can carry a gun in the Treasure Valley. There's one freeway. Back in the day, up until about a couple years ago, you could afford a house. Idaho's an amazing place. Outdoors, fishing, hunting, all the, it's a great state, but it only takes if we're one election away from losing it. Especially if they get this ranked choice voting and open primaries. That's another topic for probably another Twitter space. But if you can fund conservative candidates and PACs, do it. Because it's not really about us, but it's our kids and our grandkids. Like what kind of Idaho are we going to hand off to them as they become adults? So, I mean, again, we all have bills to pay. Times are tough, whatever. But the way you win a fight is with grit and determination and conviction and moral courage and tenacity. But it's also, you need money. It's marketing and advertising. That's all it is. The money you donate to a PAC doesn't go to someone's bank account. The money you donate, I mean, it goes to a bank account. No one's personally getting rich off campaign donations per se. When I receive a campaign donation, it goes into an account and I use it for mailers, for the stuff we hand out at the doors, for all that stuff costs money. To mail something to like 3,000 or 4,000 people, that's several. That's like 3 or 4 or 5, depending on how you do it. That costs several thousand dollars. So we need to, like I said, the time for observation is over. So it's that famous quote. People say Patton said it. Who knows who said it? But the whole lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. If you're not going to run for office, support those who can. You know, you can run also kind of in the call to action category. You can run for a, you there's something called a precinct committeeman. It's like neighborhood politics. The commit, you can get involved at the neighborhood level at the very foundation of the party. And I would say it's the most important position in the party, a precinct committeeman. The commitment is one meeting a month. There's little things that come up, but your only actual commitment is one meeting a month. But there's precinct committeemen, who don't even show up to their meetings. They get the position because they want to keep like a conservative out. So there's even in the Canyon County Republican Central Committee, and I know this is every central committee, there's people who are precinct committeemen who go to like one meeting a year. So there's an opportunity. We have an election coming up in May. So, I mean, if you can't fund, like I said, everyone's strapped for cash these days. But if you can't donate, see if you can get involved at the precinct level. It's free. The commitment is minimal, but the impact can be huge. Like Dominic Brandon, who's on here, he's a precinct committeeman. He just got bumped up. He got nominated to the state committee level, the state central committee. And there's a lot of really important decisions that happen where now Dominic, who started as a regular precinct committeeman in Canyon County, is now at the state level making decisions that impact the party statewide. So if you can give your money, do it. If you can run for House or Senate and you're a principled person who wants to, you're signing up for Fight Club is what you're signing up for. If you want to win, it's Fight Club. If you can do that, cool. If you can't give and you can't, you know, it's a weird thing in Idaho. We have a part-time legislature. So you have to have a job that's basically remote or that gives you the freedom of schedule to not have to be in one place from 9 to 5. If you have a job where you have the freedom to do it, or you own your own business and you're like January, February, and March, and January is not even that busy. So, I mean, if you can run, cool. Get a hold of some people on this space. Say, hey, I live in whatever area. Is there an opportunity for me in the House or the Senate? We need candidates to primary these people. Otherwise, we're just going to get bulldozed. But again, I got to go do the bedtime thing with the kids. But I just wanted to say the time, like I said, the time for observation is over. If you like what you have to fund it. You have to step up. You have to get involved. You have to knock doors. You can make phone calls. There's so much stuff you can do. And thank you. I know there's several people who made this assemble. What is it called? Assemble X Idaho. That's the
Assemble
official
name. Yeah, Assemble X Idaho. It's going to be national probably someday, but right now we launched it here.
Yeah, this is a cool little space, obviously, because everyone, there's been 80-ish people on, give or take, all for the past hour and a half. People who aren't here live might watch it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So that's why retweeting it, sharing it, getting the word out. We're doing the work of the people. So, you know, we have to do some kind of guerrilla marketing with this stuff. So definitely step up and get involved if you can. If you need help saying, I want to get involved and I have no idea what to do or how I can be helpful, hit me up, hit Glenita up, hit Lauren up, hit Maria up, hit Tammy up, hit Dominic, Glenita. Like, people in this chat know how to get involved. So just ask. And that's, I'm going to go ahead and sign off for the night. It's been a fun night, guys.
Hey, Brian, was that you speaking just now?
I believe so.
Okay. You must be speaking from maybe your PC because you're showing that you're muted. So I just wanted to make sure I recognized your voice. So good. Well, thank you for joining. And we do have some hands raised. So I'm going to go. And Josh, can you mute your phone? I'm unable to. Thank you. I think we had Maria and then Idaho and then who was the third one?
Yeah, it's Maria and then Dominic and then Glenita.
Thank you.
Yes, pick me. I've had my blinker on for a long time.
Go, girlfriend, go.
Oh, did I get to go? Okay.
Oh, Glenita, sorry, Maria, you got jumped. It's the senator first. Go ahead.
Yes, that's right. I'm going to use the senator card on Maria. Yes, I just wanted to jump in on all of this and encourage the people. You know what? This is a time that it is kind of like with my Substack with David versus Goliath. David is the people. Goliath is your large corporations. And in my district in Twin Falls, we're a huge agricultural area, and with, you know, 20th generation Idahoans. And I have to say that it's going to be our California or wherever you're from refugees that are coming here thinking that we were such a red, red state, that you're going to be the ones that are going to see the signs in the distance. You're going to see the clouds coming in and knowing that's a tornado, that this is bad. Your 20th generation Idahoans that have been in your legislation for so long, they are the ones that have been expanding our government, that have been doubling our budget in 4 years, 50% in 4 years. There is 82% Republicans, and it has been your longtime Idaho generation. And I can say that. I can say that I'm an Idaho, because I've been here since of the age of four, so I don't know anything different. And being in Twin Falls, a lot of them are the ones that are bringing in this federal money, that they're bringing in the corporations, you know. In my district, I am the only one in District 24, 25, 26, and 27 that is really holding the line here, that is trying to wake up the people. And it is the people that is the fix to our problem. And they're waking up. They're seeing the signs. They're being encouraged. You know, I look at what has happened to us with Senator Winder and sending us these letters. You know, at the moment, I was really upset when I started reading it. By the time I got to my third paragraph in that letter, I was thinking, this is a gift. This is a gift to Idaho so that everyone can see what we're dealing with. There is intimidation tactics. You know, they're always worried about reelection. They're worried about doing whatever these large corporations are. And to give a little history, what's going on in Idaho, in the 80s, in my area, we were almost a ghost town. We didn't, Tupperware was our main thing that was in our area that was providing jobs, and it left. And then all of a sudden, a lot of the dairies came in and brought in jobs. And so we tend to go to where we think that we're going to get the jobs. But at the same time, we're losing a lot of our sovereignty because, unfortunately, a lot of our farmers, and when you read my Substack there, it's going to show you, too, where a lot of our Idaho farmers, they're trying to provide and trying to put food on their table, and they're taking a lot of this federal subsidies. But when you start looking at these federal farm subsidies that they're taking, they're not even designed for your small farmers. They're designed for your large corporation farms. And, you know, that we need to start paying attention to this, because when you start controlling the food and you start controlling the water, you're going to control the people. And that's what's going on here in the Magic Valley. And I'm trying to wake up and be the watchman on the tower saying, you know what, we need to be careful, because the more that we take in from the federal, then we have a lot of those regulations that come in with the federal and a lot of those rules that come in with the federal government. And we are losing our state sovereignty over our water, over our food. And that is going to be a huge problem coming to us here in the very near future. And I really hope that people will start paying attention to what's going on with our water and our food. I mean, really pay attention to it. And so I just wanted to give all of you an idea what's going on in the southern and eastern part of Idaho. Our farmers are, in my personal opinion, are being deceived. You know, because they just want to farm. They just want to do what they love. And because they're doing what they love, and they want to trust those people that they're putting into these positions to protect their water rights and so that they can farm and provide for all of us, they're being deceived in many ways. And I just really hope that people can come along and help us to help hopefully wake them up. And that's the problem with our fifth and 20th generation Idahoans is, you know, we want to trust people. We've grown up with them. You know, I have been in this area. I grew up in Jerome, and I went from first to 12th grade with all of these people. And it's hard to believe that they would sell out our freedoms on our water and on farming, and that they would deceive us in what they're doing. But what they have done is they have increased our budget by 50%. We're at $13.9 billion. And to pay that $13.9 billion, we're counting on the federal for almost half of it to pay for that $13.9 billion. We are in a huge problem. We really are in a time that we need to start having some serious discussions on what we're doing, because when that half of it's gone, when the federal is no longer and that money is gone, how does Idaho pay that $13.9 billion with half of it gone? We need to start cutting back. We need to start digging in. We need to start really looking into every single detail of our appropriations, because that is the important part, the heart of what's really going on. And we need to start, before we have to triage, I would like to cut back. I would like to look at this and look at our appropriations and say, where can we cut back before we have to actually triage programs? And I just really want to share that, what's going on in Idaho. And I just, my heart is that if we don't start blowing this whistle and start warning the people, you know, I would rather warn them and before the blood's on my hands. If they don't want to listen and they don't want to hear, then that, so be it. You know, that then the blood's on their hands. But where we're headed with Idaho, we need to make some serious decisions. We need to.
Thanks, Juanita. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say thank you so much, and definitely need to pick your brain a little bit more. Maria and Dom, I know you have your hands up, but there's two people who have not spoken yet. So if you don't mind, I'm going to go to them very briefly and then swing back around, but please don't leave. So Lucas, can you go ahead and ask your question?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. So I'm Lucas Kaler, and I am a legislative candidate. I'm running in District 11, and I know I'm going to sound like Tom Munns here for half of a second. And so I apologize if I did get a bit late in on this conversation, but the one of the bigger things, or bigger entities rather, behind the push to turn Idaho blue is the World Economic Forum and the United Nations through Agenda 2030. And considering that IAKI is heavily tied to both of those global entities, it should make anybody sit up and scratch their head when IAKI is endorsing certain candidates. So that's tell number one. But it's amazing how many people don't understand what Agenda 2030 is and where exactly any of it's coming from. You know, they see the growth, they see the, you know, the 15-minute cities, but they don't understand what 15-minute cities are. They see all the traffic light cameras and just the mass cameras everywhere. The United States is the most heavily surveilled country in the world now. We've even topped China by all available metrics. The push for the World Health Organization to establish treaties with, I think it's 197 countries, that they basically can subvert any country's sovereignty in the advent of a another worldwide health pandemic. And we completely lose our sovereignty as a country. Like, all of these things are being pushed by the globalists, the one world government. And I was talking on the phone tonight to a gentleman, a farmer out in the Paul Burley area. And I was trying to, you know, just explain some of this stuff to him, because he's like, yeah, I see these things, but what's driving them? What, you know, how do we fix it? How do we change it? And I said, well, you have to understand where it comes from. And so I started like laying a lot of this stuff out for him. And he was absolutely shocked and amazed that he had never heard any of this stuff. You know, he lives out in that area, yet he had no idea that the Lava Ridge Wind Project, in the monstrous size and scope of a wind project that it is, was even going in. And a lot of the environmental impact and destruction to wildlife, wild lands, ranch lands, and so forth, that all of that would entail. So it's something that I say, one, we have to educate ourselves to go back to like the head of the issue, what's driving it from the very top, and read, understand what the Agenda 2030 is, the 15-minute cities and the 100% clean renewable energy and the population control and the critical race theory, DEI elements that play into all of this. And we have to educate our neighbors and our friends and our family members, even though they'll probably look at us like we need to have tinfoil hats on our heads.
Thanks, Lucas. Three-tier, you still have your hand up? Do you have a question?
I do. I don't really have a question. If I can just make a couple comments real quick, I would appreciate it. If not, I can close my mic.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to speak. Hey, everybody, follow the host, the co-host, retweet the space, follow each other, talk to each other off of here. This is a great place to connect and talk about ideas. Unfortunately, those ideas have to get out into daily action. Thanks for the space tonight. I came to Idaho in 1982 after I graduated high school and lived in Seattle at the time, grew up in Seattle, a much far different Seattle than it is today. I actually grew up right by the University of Washington. And then after I was here and worked here for 5 years after I graduated, I left for work, and then I came back years later. I just wanted to make a couple comments to really kind of dig in with y'all. You know, one of the challenges that Idaho is facing is the influx of the people that are moving from blue states. I see this in my work. In the last 2 years, I've had more self-defense cases go to trial in Idaho than ever. I actually had an Ada County prosecutor, just so you know, I had a case I was helping defend with an attorney. I'm not an attorney, I'm a trainer, and I work on criminal defense cases on self-defense use of force. Anyhow, When I reviewed the case, I just want to tell you the story so you understand how critical the stuff you're saying is, right? Everything you're saying is so true. So I looked at this case and I called the attorney back and I said, wait a second, why is this kid being charged? And when I say kid, he was a kid, he's 21. He did everything right, called the police, retreated, the whole deal. Fortunately, he didn't have to fire his gun, but they charged him with 2 felonies. And I'm like, what is going on? And she said, well, that's what I asked the prosecutor. And I said, well, what did the prosecutor tell you? And she said, he literally looked at me and said, I don't think people should be walking around in Idaho with guns. Let that sink in for a minute. A elected official in Idaho told the criminal defense attorney, I'm prosecuting this kid because I don't think people should be walking around with guns. I said, well, what did you say? And she said, huh, you might want to go practice law in Washington, Oregon, or California. Right? And I said, wow. I go, you know, I'm looking at this case and this kid did everything that we teach almost to a T, without really any training. And she said, I pointed that out as well. I go, you said that to the prosecutor? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, what did he say to that? Listen to this. He told her, Well, I also know in those classes, because she said, I've consulted with two experts, I've hired one, he's local. He said, I also know that those people teach in their class that even if you execute near perfect or perfect, and there's really no such thing as perfect self-defense, but near perfect, you can still be criminally charged. So the reason I'm telling you that story is that, you know, Idaho is one of the last few blue states that they're trying to turn purple, then blue. And it is going to be a battle, and it's going to be a local battle. And I don't know if the polling numbers were accurate, but I read somewhere that like 20%, that's just a little over 20% of the people in Canyon County, which is where I live, actually voted. So, you know, unfortunately, historically, people that have been in Idaho a long time, they're kind of like apathetic gun owners, which I deal with all the time. Hey, I just want to be left alone. I'm not joining any pro 2A organizations because they hound me for money. And you know what? Let them come and try to take it. Folks, we're way beyond that. If you look at Coeur d'Alene and Boise and what's happening there is what ruined Oregon and Washington and actually California. I live in a little subdivision. Everyone around us here is from California except for one couple. They're all super conservative. They left California because of the bullshit. They're true patriot people and they're great people. But they left because their state got leveraged like Oregon, Multnomah County, Washington County, Lane County, Salem, Oregon. They run that state. That's why you see more than half of Oregon wanting to become Idaho. You look at Washington State. I grew up in Seattle when it was great, safe, clean, great state to live in. And it's a shithole now. So, you know, your local elections matter because that leads up to a state election, which leads up to a national platform. Like, I look at Mike Simpson and I'm like, that dude's got to go. Like, how is he still in office? Like, send that dude home. But then I look at how did the mayor of Boise get reelected, and they tried to recall her. They couldn't even get that done. And now she's reelected. So, you know, I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. Glenda, I think. I tried to follow you. I'm on a follow lockdown. Sorry, folks. If you follow me, I will follow you back. I'm on a lockdown. I hate it, but I would love to follow y'all. I already follow some of you. But, you know, that's the reality of where we're at. And the guy that was just talking, I'm not sure if he's still here. He had to go take care of the kids. But he's speaking the truth. Glenda's speaking the truth. And, you know, if we're not careful, Idaho will become another Washington, Oregon, and California. And we're the people that will either let that happen or not let it happen. So, great space. I'm going to keep following you guys. I'm not sure if there's a group, like a group thread, Assembly X Idaho or whatever, but I will jump in here whenever I can. I'm all about, you know, your right of self-defense, your right to vote, your right to the First Amendment. And Idaho has to stay blue if we want to continue the lifestyle we have here. And we cannot let these big... Hey, there's a corporation building here that is out of Oregon. I mean, there's out-of-state building housing developments coming in here. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, where's the local folks saying, hey, yeah, we need houses, but we need affordable houses. And by the way, you're building 4 square mile subdivisions on the same 2-lane country roads that I was running on my track scholarship back in 82, 80, 87 or 84, 85. Like, come on. So, hey, great space.
Thank you so much. So shout out to JR Simplot, who's in here listening to us, and Ayaki Herson, Hi, thanks for coming. Maria said she has a 15-second thing to go. And then we're going to go to Dom because Dom's been waiting a while and he's got stuff to do.
Hey, I just wanted to put out a challenge to any senator or representative that's listening tonight or may listen later, whether or not they're a member of the Freedom Caucus or not. If you manage to get yourself a letter from Daddy Chuck Winder, $50 to you. It's a challenge that I'm issuing to all of you.
I love it. I love it. Dom, go.
Hey, so with that announcement, I'm running for something. I want to get a letter. I need that $50. No, if Mr. Simplot or Simplot Corporation is listening in, I might not say what I was going to say, but I will say this. Lenny kind of stole, I call him Lenny's my buddy, Brian Lenny, Senator Lenny. He kind of stole some of my thunder I wanted to throw out, but it's super critical. I'll just say this. I think it's best to tell your neighbors and your friends, turn off national media and go talk to your neighbors.
Idaho won. I have it up in the thing. Idaho is our conversation. Yeah. It's our conservative aggregate. It is Idaho Tribune and Dispatch. Yeah. Go to Idaho One. Follow them.
I followed them. And I mean, this is all about the precinct level. And I'm not going to get into precinct strategy because that's proprietary and we're going to do our thing. But that'll be for different groups that are tight and not necessarily with an IACI donor listening, but it's all about the precinct. It's all about talking to your neighbors about what's going on and getting them involved with you. That's what I've done when I ran and I won and I did pretty well. It wasn't close. But that's what I want to leave you guys all with, you know, turn off the national news. And I mean, I turned off the national news after 2020. I was like, okay, we got to work on our state. We got to look at our state sovereignty because there's nothing we can do about Washington, D.C., literally nothing. So what's happening in Idaho? Where's the threats here? What can we do? And so that's the advice I would throw out there is just to turn off the national media. I mean, pay attention to what's going on, I guess, you know, keep updated, but just really focus your energy and your resources to your immediate precinct. Who's your PC? What's happening in your central committees? Who's the chair? All of it. Just dive in and see what's going on. And it's very easy to get involved. And it's very easy to run as a PC and win because they're your neighbors. It takes a lot more money to sell a lie than it does to sell the truth. That's what I found. So we have the upper hand. We have the truth. We just got to get the work done. I'll leave you guys with that.
Hey, thanks, Dom. Real quick, Lauren, we have a bunch of people who are trying to get up on stage, but we're out of room. So if there's anybody who does not have any other questions who are on stage that can drop down, we would definitely really appreciate it. And then, Lauren, whoever you had next, go ahead.
Oh, no, I want to Dom up, but it looks like Happy something. Happy. Go Happy. Or wait. Yeah, go Happy.
My name's Randall. I'm up here in Coeur d'Alene, and it tweaked me to hear what was going on with gun laws up here. That was going to be my first question from that was just brought up here a few minutes ago. And then second, you guys are so intimate with what's going on down in Boise. How's my District 3 rep, Redmond, doing? Is he rhinoing, or is he pulling his weight for this? And thirdly, is the Kootenai County area in jeopardy, and what spots and where should I be sinking my teeth into? I've got a $1 billion management of budgets and being able to dig into the roots and create forecasts and that kind of career. So I can apply that to almost any activity, whether it be construction or whether it be through donations and where they're going. I can certainly seek out the roots and sniff it out if it's bad, because if you seek on my profile here, you'll see where I stand on all the issues, and I don't need to go into a lot of that with you guys because you sound like you're quite aware of what's going on. So I appreciate that. That's really good news. It doesn't mean we can't stop selling it to the people that don't know, but you know, the ones up top in the New World Order Agenda 2030 is real, and all the substantive activities that are behind it, right from the southern border NGOs feeding the 2 million. Yeah, it's just nuts. But I think to list it all out would be stupid at this point. We got to pick individually. We have to pick a spot and drill our hook into it.
I can talk to Kootenai if you'd like.
Absolutely, yeah. I'd like to know that and that secret about what's going on, what Coeur d'Alene's tried to pull off with guns.
Okay, so, Jordan Redman is, he's such a great guy. I really like him. Him and his wife are wonderful people. He votes.
Amy's awesome.
Yes, and they vote 100% the correct way. They put money kind of everywhere. They're big business people. So, there's some skepticism on where the donations are going. But at the end of the day, like, Jordan always votes correctly. He's got the right set mind. It's happening, right? Like, so he's great. Joel Fleury is great. Elaine Price is great. All of your Coeur d'Alene folk are pretty great. Also, KCRCC is fantastic. And yes, we lost the Coeur d'Alene races for like city council and stuff this go around. But I'll tell you right now, it's because it was an odd year. On even years, we clean sweep. And most people don't realize this, that like odd years suck because it's hard to bring the grassroots out. But on even years, when it's a big primary or whatever, like they'll come out and vote. So we do really well on even years, not so great on odd years. Yes, you know, Christy Woods got in. Ugh. Yes, Dan Gookin. Ugh, got in, right? Like they're gross. But at the end of the day, this upcoming 2024, we're going to clean sweep because that's when all the voters show. And the best thing to do is to garner the people to show up to vote on odd years if you want to win those elections.
And so you're thinking more on the city side up here is where a guy should be sinking his teeth into if you want to make a difference?
Yeah, I think in the future we're going to have digital billboards that's like up and coming that are going to be proprietary to certain people actually. They're going to be advertising year round for all the right folk, but you're going to see the odd years are the harder years. The even years are going to be the easier ones because everyone shows up to vote because they want to vote for the primaries for the big elections. And that's why we clean sweeped for legislature, but like sucked for city council because city council's on odd years. So we just have to generate that momentum on the odd years, which is hard to do.
I think we're at a point that it has to be done though, and equal amount of effort or extra effort has to be put into it, because you guys have said it over and over, the grassroots right down to the precinct level, the city level, the county level, that is where these changes are going to be made in Washington.
Agree, and thank you so much for your commentary. I can't talk so much about the Second Amendment stuff. I do know that KCRCC passed a resolution to make us a, what is it, state, or our county is going to be a, what's the word? It's the thing they do with immigrants, the whatever county. Yeah, so you like, we're going to be able to carry no matter what. Sheriff Norris is awesome. He'll defend us over feds coming in and trying to squander our rights. Like, we're totally good. Kootenai County is awesome. Always go by KCRCC stuff. North Idaho Rhinos is totally bunk. Don't listen to them. They're run by Krista Hazel. Her dad was one of the FBI agents from Ruby Ridge, and she probably works with feds, and she voted for Biden. It was in the CDA press. So do not listen to North Idaho Republicans. They're garbage. They're not real. Always go with the KCRCC recommendation slate.
Great. Thank you for the info. What was it? I was going to say something regarding that. Slipped my mind. Thank you guys very much.
Josh, did you have something?
Oh, I'm sorry. It hit me. I think you touched on a very, very serious issue that should be nationwide spread like wildfire. The protection that we have to have of our sheriff's departments. They are the final stand for the people is the county sheriff, provided you're state writes it like that, but I'm pretty sure majority of the country is. But your sheriff's department, your sheriff elect, that is huge if you want to go after criminal politicians. And I think that's really got to be pushed hard and know who you're voting for there. Make sure we got some pocket constitutionalist sheriffs. And I'll drop down so you got more room.
Okay, so I just want to speak just briefly, touch on a few things that Dom was actually talking about earlier. You know, we got this Idaho One that it's an aggregator, as everybody's talked about previously, but every one of you have the ability to go and start a Substack or start a website, becoming a citizen journalist in your own community. And Idaho One can connect you, and it will publish it right to Twitter. And the more that we get this out there, the more that you see something happen in your community, get this out there, connect with Idaho One, you put that on your website, the aggregator actually publishes it to Twitter, and it gets it out there. So those are a few things. I also wanted to say thank you for, I'm a huge fan of you know, Maria and Glenda, and this has been an absolutely amazing time tonight. I've just been sitting here being a spectator, even though I'm a co-host, but I can't even, I'm at a loss for words, honestly, which is remarkable. But as I told Lauren, everybody else, I'm not really a good public speaker. I'm better at writing stuff. My thoughts are in my fingertips. So for those that don't know me, I'm lived in Idaho practically my whole life. I went around the country chasing money. But I was born right here in Idaho, St. Luke's Hospital in Boise, raised on the Snake River in Grandview, and now I'm living here in Gooding, Idaho, right here in the Magic Valley. So I was more into the national politics, and one day I just kind of seen some things that was happening, and I was following Lauren at the time, and I'm like, how the hell is this even happening here in Idaho? This just doesn't make a sense. This doesn't happen in Idaho. We are Idaho. This don't happen. And so it's just been baffling to me of how far this state is becoming. What we see in California, it happens other places. It doesn't happen here in Idaho, but it's happened. And we have to get more involved. We have to do our due diligence. And for people like me that was complacent and we were just hanging out in the national stuff, you have to get out there. You have to tell your friends and say, look, we need to start paying attention to what's happening here. And yes, this stuff that's happening nationally, it is vitally important. But we can't do nothing if we lose our own state. So that's really all I want to say. And I want to appreciate everybody that I see here. If there's a trading card, I'm all about politics. So when I see the people that I've seen right here in this, I'm a big fan of everybody. But that's all I want to say right now. So.
Three-tier, go ahead. You're next.
Thank you. You can call me Steve. That's my name. It's fine.
Steve, I'm sorry.
No, I'm not offended. It's fine. It's it's, you know, I know it's my business account, but hey, Josh, I can only imagine what you go through psychologically and emotionally growing up here from the dirt and back in the day and to what it is today. Because I'm like half of that, right? The reason I re-raised my hand was because the term I think you were looking for is Sanctuary 2A. And there's been a lot of cities and counties over the last 2 years that have voted in Sanctuary 2A. Brad Little, they signed into legislation that Idaho is a Sanctuary 2A state. So allegedly, and I'm saying allegedly because you don't know until the proof is in the pudding, like, let's see what happens. What that means is that if you're a Sanctuary 2A city or county, if the state tries to vote in more gun restrictions, your sheriff is not going to enforce those. Sanctuary 2A state means, hey, ATF, Mr. three-letter agency that has no constitutional standing, you're under executive order, you cannot pass a law. If you come in here and try to enforce new rules that they want to call law, because they can't pass law, only the Congress and the Senate can do that, right, federally, no, we're going to arrest you, and we're not doing that. So, you know, Idaho, well, look, this is really good news. In the last 5 years, Idaho has really beefed up your constitutional right to defend yourself, stand your ground, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Gun rights, all that. And that's important. Like, that's a really good sign. Does that mean we could ignore everything else? No, we can't, right? The other reason I raised my hand was because there's a guy out of, his name's Shane Meckland. He's a builder. I connected with him on some other issues and some things we supported mutually. And I think he's out of Minneapolis. I'm not sure, but exactly. I should be because I talk to him so much. But this is a builder that knew nothing about politics at all. Never wanted to be a politician. He got so pissed off at his state reps, he decided to run. And I've heard him tell his story 1,000 times. Like, I knew nothing about this. I knew nothing about fundraising. I was just so mad that I had to get involved to help protect my area and our state. And he did it. And he got elected into office. And he's a character. He's a very down-to-earth dude, just straightforward. And he says all the time, if I can do it, because I'm not the smartest guy around, anyone can do it. And I think that's what we have to remember is that, you know, you don't have to be rich. You don't have to necessarily want to be a politician. You just got to care about your local community and your state and have a passion and a commitment enough to overcome the hurdles, right? And that guy has a story. His name's Shane Mecklen. But anyhow, I just wanted to shed light on that 2A thing, the Sanctuary 2A stuff. And it's really grown, and Idaho's strong in that, which is great for the state of Idaho and the citizens. So I'll holster it there. Thanks again for the mic. I'll step down.
And that's actually great. If you go to my profile and click on my highlights, you'll see that I've touched on a lot of 2A stuff. That's basically how I actually grew my following was on 2A stuff. So you're spot on right there. But go to my highlights and you'll see that I've touched on that a lot with this state. So thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Maybe next time, if you do talk, try and get maybe a little closer to the phone. Maybe it was just me having a little bit of hard time hearing what you were saying, but I think I got it. So thanks so much for your honesty and your passion. The way you feel about Idaho is how I felt about California. It was all orchards where I lived. So I get it. You know, I really do. And yeah, so it's really good to be here. Lauren, did you have anything else you wanted to add, or what do you think?
Let me touch on that too. So I actually have family that my whole family was, we came from the West Virginia coal mines all the way to California. And in fact, my family actually, where Salinas, California is now, that used to be my family's farm. So I have roots down in California. I have roots all across this country. In fact, if it wasn't for the Great Depression, my grandma would have never traveled across the country from Oklahoma and met my grandfather in California. I would have never been born.
No, we're glad you were. Go ahead, Lauren.
No, yeah, totally. And I think there's somebody in here, Carla Bonnie, the art surfer. I keep approving them and they won't. Okay. Anyway, does anybody have anything else to say before we close the space? We appreciate all of you coming. Number one, go to Idaho One and follow them. They're going to give you all your conservative news. Number two, go to Stop Idaho Rhinos and please donate in the race to defeat bad legislators. This is not IACI money, it's grassroots money, and you get to pick who you want your money towards. Like, it's kind of a big deal. So anybody who will jump in and do it, Maria was on fire tonight. Juanita killed it. Brian killed it. So I totally appreciate everybody who came in. Let's see, I've got two requests. Mark, do you want to say something before we sign off?
So nothing, you can't hear anything from me?
Oh, who's speaking? Sorry,
Carla.
Oh, go ahead, Carla.
Okay, sorry, I didn't on and done this, but whatever. I moved here from California in 2015. I lived in California for over 30 years. My dad was born City of Angels in Los Angeles, so longtime Californian. But coming here, you know, of course, I escaped, and I came here for a lot of reasons. But before I left, I tried to, you know, help bring California back with a bunch of really great people. I started with a couple of other people, the first Tea Party group in Ventura County. And our first event had over 3,000 people, and we had, you know, all kinds of stuff going on because of it. But anyway, when I moved here, when I was in California, I actually ran for city council. I started, you know, local groups and, really studied Agenda 21/30. And one of the things about Agenda 21 that, you know, could really come into play in Idaho is the water, Blue Water Act. And they really are trying, and they're, as of just recently, trying to do the Blue Water Act, where the United Nations would have control over all waters in the United States, including Coeur d'Alene Lake, you know, the Spokane River, you know, Spirit Lake, all the waterways, our wells, anything that we have that could be given over to the United Nations. And so that's something that people need to be aware of and, you know, pay attention. One thing is that RFK, as part of his thing when he was in trouble for drugs, started a group called Water Keepers, as part of his, you know, getting out of the problems with his drug thing. And with Water Keepers, what he did is he set up groups all over the United States. He would sell, you know, the ability to go after local areas. You would get your own area. So River Watch, Water Keepers, you know, different names. And they even got away from the water, but where they would sue cities, counties, and try to bring them into the United Nations concept of how waters should be cared for. And so when people say that Robert Kennedy Jr. is a conservative or moderate or whatever, just be aware he's moderate regarding some things, meaning, you know, the job. But beyond that, he's really not. So anything about Agenda 21, he's a little bit more aligned with that. And then coming from starting with, you know, Reagan with illegals and him giving, you know, letting the illegals become citizens back in that day. What I'm seeing in Idaho, specifically because of being next to Spokane and Washington and them being a sanctuary state, is that our builders, and I'm a realtor, our builders are coming with, you know, their appropriate licensing and saying, you know, they're licensed to do business here and whatever, but they're starting to bring illegals. And so if the powers that be in our state are not checking credentials in terms of, okay, yeah, that might be a contractor and legitimate that's building this project, but if you're not checking all the people that work for them, they're especially, it's not even builders, it's people that are doing the all our phone service, you know, cable service, you know, a lot of them are from Washington, and yeah, they're legitimate from Washington, but they're bringing over illegals. And I've seen it firsthand, and I'm very concerned. And, you know, so when, and I'm seeing them being here too. And so hopefully our people are starting to watch out that, you know, the illegals are coming in and taking our housing. So yeah, people from other states have come in and taken our housing, but now illegals will be. And the difference is they're bringing in, let's just say an illegal rents, meaning an invader, rents an apartment or a house. Let's just say a house. They will start doing what they did in California, which is bring in 12 people to a house. And then those 12 people will have 12 cars, and they'll be parking on the streets, all their cars taking up all the spaces for the streets, and then totally wreaking havoc for the people in the areas. So it's like, that's really concerning me. I'm not all that involved in politics here because I'm just, you know, I've taken a little bit of a break, but it's very easy to see. And, you know, even with our farmers and our cattlemen and things like that, Agenda 21, they don't want cattle, you know, no more meat by 2050. And they're very serious about it. And so, you know, I'm just hoping that the state of Idaho, yeah, we have things locally that we have to be careful of. But it's the greater picture is that the United Nations, through working with groups in our country, are taking over states like ours, little by little.
You're right, Carla. Thank you so much for saying that. There's so much that you mentioned in there that, God, we could have 15 to 20 spaces on so many of the things that you do mention. So I definitely do appreciate that. And I do think that there are some things in there that, I don't know, we should talk about, Lauren, and put on maybe some future calls. Water came up a couple times for sure. So we do want to drill down in future spaces. So keep those ideas coming. And yeah, I do want to thank you. I'm going to pass you back, Lauren, if you want to close it out, but I did want to just acknowledge that.
Yeah. And for the record, we were part of the WOTUS suit that won. I know that the RAG was awesome and he threw us into the water protection suit, and he didn't go with the majority of the states. He went with like a different route, and we were the ones who won the suit. So like our water in our state is actually protected. You can thank Raul Labrador and his team. side mention Theo Wold, who is awesome and has since left and is going in the Air Force. But they busted their butts to get that done, and we are water protected. But thank you all for coming. We have had such a great talk tonight, and we're going to do this every Wednesday. We'll have a different topic every Wednesday. Hopefully Chuck Winder doesn't send letters, you know, before every Wednesday, because then we're going to have conversations about senators getting spanked when they shouldn't be, right? Like, we should not have a rogue leadership that is beholden to IACI. I know I shouted out J.R. Simplot for listening. I'm glad they were listening. I hope they heard about how we don't like their influence in our politics. But yes, so all the people, everything we mentioned, the Idaho ones, the Stop Idaho Rhinos, all of the hosts, all of the speakers, Idaho Freedom Caucus, reach out, donate, follow, all of the things, because they're super important to the freedom in our state. Without the grassroots element, we are nothing. Like, we are run by super corporate conglomerates, whether you want to realize it or not. We've already talked about how they don't vote Republican anyway. So fight back, tell your family, tell your friends, bring them on the space, retweet the spaces, and hopefully next week it is as exciting and long and we have as much participation. We love you all, and thank you so much for coming, and we can't wait to see you again.